Travel with Let's Eat as we visit with Dean Coffee Roasters of Crown Point. We all deserve a great cup of joe, java, cafe, or coffee. Join the owner and operator and head roaster, Alex, from Dean Coffee Roasters as we explore the art of roasting coffee beans. Call in 769-9577 and pull up a chair and bring that coffee mug as we visit the world of coffee and win a bag of freshly roasted coffee beans from Fiend Coffee Roasters of Crown Point. Tune in this Friday at 3 o'clock on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick, as we wake up and smell the coffee with Fiend Coffee Roasters on 89.1 FM WLPR, Lakeshore Public Radio. Call in and join the fun. Yesu!
Support for Let's Eat comes from Bombs Natural Foods. More than just supplements, Bombs offers massages, ion cleanses, a juice bar, and an educated staff for all of your questions. Bombs Natural Foods, with locations in Merrillville, Highland, and BombsNaturalFoods.com. Program consideration comes from Lithographic Communications. Lithographic Communications, located in Munster, has been providing both printing and mailing services locally since 1988. More information is available at 219-924-9779.
It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Thanks for joining us here on the Big Blowtorch, 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. And in the segment of the music that we, you know, we start off with, I said a little information. Well, today we're going to have a lot of information.
A lot of information.
Yeah, we got one of the biggest coffee roasters I've dealt with a great facility. And he brought in all this coffee for us, coffee cups. We're going to be totally educated on the coffee. Well, he said it's a fruit with a pit in it, but we're going to be totally educated.
Beautiful.
But we want people to call in, 769-9577, 769-9577. And Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters has brought us bags of coffee, and we can mail you out a bag of coffee and a coffee cup from Fiend Coffee Roasters. What a great present that is.
That is very cool. He's going to come see us. We're going to go see him. It's all good today. Friday,
beautiful day. I think it's a great fall feeling day out there. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a great day. They got the game night tonight, Friday night game night. Tommy and Wayne will be on the radio till 10 or 10:30. And then they get to put their mugs on the TV and talk about the games and do some replays of the games and break them down and tell us what's going on and then tell us what's going to go on next week, too.
That's the way to make a living, man. That's a great job if you can get it.
Oh,
just
and then,
talk sports
and wait
get
for
your friends,
wait
get for, paid for it,
wait for Chef
TV.
Nick to come in and bring you food.
Chef Nick bring you treats. I mean, gosh, you know, I've got a pretty good too.
You know, only thing I don't do is powder their faces or anything like that. And that's because it's radio.
Well, you know, you got your expertise in the cooking area.
I know. So beautiful night out there. I hope everyone in
a man
enjoys
in your
games.
Position should not have to powder anybody's face.
You're not in the restaurant business. When you're in the hospitality industry, I mean,
you do it all, right?
You do makeup, face, powdering. So what's going on out there, Sharon?
Oh, you know, fun stuff. You know, the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore has always got stuff going on. And they have birding classes. And some people are into that. Some people like watching birds migrate. And, you know, that's they're having some classes coming up. One November 16th, one December 21st. They got the drop-in volunteering still going on where, you know, you can drop in at your convenience, a no-hassle thing. You don't have to commit, and they train you to do, you know, what you want to do, certain different kinds of jobs that are available to do for, you know, volunteering. And, they're also, this might be something for you, Nick. The Dunes is looking for a food service vendor to operate the food concession area at the Portage Lakefront and Riverwalk Pavilion for the 2020 season. You got to operate, though, from Memorial Day through Labor Day. And there's also a minimum required number of operational
hours. I don't
think
I can do it because I'm going to go out there.
They're going to do an open house on November 1st for this.
I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to
Everybody's
sit in
gonna
the
go,
sun.
Ah, Chef Nick.
No, I'm just going to be laying in the sun and surf. I don't think I think my heart won't be into making food.
This is perfect for you.
I think I'm just going to want to put a blanket out and just drink wine and drink Fiend coffee.
You know, you hire somebody to go out there, run the thing, and you just sit there in your, you know, your sunglasses and your lawn chair and your umbrella. And it's Chef Nick's place. You're there, and somebody else is serving the food.
I know, but
I like that.
I know, but you know how I am. I can't just watch people work. I would have to jump in, and I wouldn't enjoy the atmosphere, the sand, or surf, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be work for me.
You would just be like sitting there stressing, going, no, you got to do it this way.
Well, my problem is I'd be yelling, hey, call in 769-9577, 769-9577. And today you can pick up a bag of whole bean coffee from Fiend and a coffee mug.
Beautiful.
Sent right to you.
Beautiful.
So you, is there any traffic out there?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's a Friday. It's not looking bad if you're headed westbound on 8094, but if you're coming into Northwest Indiana from the suburbs of Illinois, you're going to be waiting in line because it's slow all the way from like I-80, 294, where that comes together at Dixie Highway, eastbound, all the way to 8094, just past Klein.
So
very heavy and slow.
So on your way home tonight, you should be okay.
How
about Alex?
I should be okay.
Alex would be okay, or is he going to be spending the night in his warehouse at Fiend?
Probably. Well, no, he should be okay.
Okay, that's cool.
He should be all right.
So, you know. Yeah, so you ready to take a trip?
Yeah, let's.
So, folks,
that.
What we're going to do is we're going to be taking a trip to Fiend Coffee Roasters.
Let's head outside.
Outside. You know, it's nice out, so you know what? I am only wearing sandals right now.
I've been meaning to get my walk in today, so this is helping.
Yeah, we need a.
Okay.
So
let's hop on this vehicle.
What are we sharing? You know what's nice is I don't have to drive. You don't have to drive. We're just going to take the choo-choo train. You know, is this the same train that goes to the Polar Express? Is this the Polar Express train?
This is the exact same one.
Where they drink the coffee on the train and stuff like that?
Yes.
Where they sing?
Delicious, yes.
And the guy's on top?
And they take it to the North Pole?
Right, where he's like making a cup of Joe out of his sock or something like that?
Yes.
This is the train.
This is it.
This is the train.
Got this just for you.
But Alex has got some good coffee sitting at Fiend's Coffee Roaster.
So this is worth the trip.
This is worth the trip. Even though we're only, Alex says, like 5 miles away from his place, I think we're already there.
We're kind of taking the scenic route.
Yeah.
Here, you know, we're here.
Are we here already? Wow. You ready to drink some coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Folks, today in the studio, we have Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters in Crown Point. He's on Summit Street. It's a brand new place, but he's been around for a while. And we're going to join Alex right now. So how you doing, Alex?
Good, Chef Nick. Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, thanks for being here. Can you tell everyone your full name?
Alex Exotis.
You know, that's a good Greek.
Oh, that's a cool name.
That's a good Greek name.
It's a good radio name.
Oh, yeah, it is good radio
it's
name.
It's a good radio name.
So, Alex, how you doing today?
Good.
Thanks for taking some time out of your coffee roasting. You don't. I smell the coffee coming out of the bag, but you don't smell
I don't smell like coffee.
No, you don't smell like coffee. So, folks, you need to call in, 769-9577. Give Alex a good coffee question. And Alex has been kind enough to bring in bags of whole bean coffee that he roasted himself. We'll send it out to you with a nice coffee mug. And they're beautiful coffee mugs. I know Dee posted it all online, so you can
Excellent.
See what they look like.
Excellent.
So, Alex, give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I'm from the Illinois area, dare I say that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been roasting coffee now for about 5 years that I've been doing this, kind of off the heels of a whole other career.
And what was that other career?
So I used to work in the event production area, space, if you will.
Uh-huh.
I did concert touring is what I did,
okay.
Mostly lighting for concert touring.
So you did all the lighting that you see on stage. I mean, did you do some big productions?
I did.
And who are some of the people you worked with?
I actually toured with the likes of Ted Nugent, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Really? He was just in town.
So literally, I worked for, back in the day, I worked for a company that provided technical support
mm-hmm.
for touring groups, if you will, of any sort. Be it rock and roll, and like I said, Engelbert Humperdinck, you know, I toured with the Pointer Sisters.
Did you really?
So
that's
the,
cool.
Yeah, so the production, the actual touring groups their production team would actually hire out companies like the one I worked for to provide that support for the length of their tour.
So are you a musician yourself?
I actually do play drums, but, you know, no, I wouldn't call myself a musician.
So what about, like, Rush and, you know, Smashing Pumpkins and
did
people
not
like
tour
that
with
now
any
with them?
No.
Yeah.
Get a lot of big autographs?
You know, that's one of the professional things you do not do.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're out there with them?
Yeah, and I felt no need to do it either.
Really?
Yeah.
So the, now, all of a sudden, you're the coffee master.
Yeah, so that actually was a... That was actually a byproduct of not only that career, but it started out as something that kind of spurred from early life for me. So I'm Greek, mm-hmm. and so if anybody knows about Greek households, it's food first,
right,
and everything else second. You know,
right,
you come in and you're going to get fed,
right.
But I also
that's why they all own restaurants, I guess.
But I had,
and why is that? I'm just curious. Food first. Is it just like because that's gang, family and love and entertainment and all that?
Nick and I are going to have to gang up on you on that because it's just...
It's all about, you know, food is entertainment.
Yeah.
And
bonding time.
Yeah, it's bonding time and it's traditions, you know, and when you're eating certain things, it brings back memories of the old times.
Yeah, it does.
And creating new ones.
Then when you, you know, also when you're eating, you need to do that because when you drink that ouzo, you got to have a nice base.
But food is love, and it's something that's created, you know, so that idea of, you know, that wholesome thing that has been, like my mom would prepare and give to you, that was a craft.
A gift.
That was a gift, and it was a craft
right.
of sorts. So they were very proud of that thing. But my parents were, like, the ultimate in coffee drinkers. There was one burner on the stove that had a percolator, and no matter how much was going on that stove, that percolator did not leave the forward left-hand side, you know, burner. It was always there. And my mom and dad would get up in the morning, they'd make a pot of coffee, they'd sit and drink it together. My dad worked nearby, he'd come home at lunch, they'd have another pot of coffee, and then with five kids total that they had, after dinner, another pot of coffee, and then they'd go to bed and they'd sleep the whole night. So coffee was infinite, you know, as far as
and they had the old-fashioned percolator.
Old-fashioned percolator.
Well, I remember that when I was a kid. My parents used to have, like you said, you would put it on the burner on the stove, and it would percolate. No plugging in. No pour over. No drip.
The thing with the cube on the top, right?
Yeah, with a little clear cube, you know.
And what is the function of that?
Well, what happens is the coffee's essentially the water is boiling, and there's a metal straw, if you will. So you
right.
have a basket at the top, and what happens is it forces the water up, and that's really more for decor than anything else, that glass piece on the top. So you'd see what's happening at that point is the water is just shooting up, and now it's shooting up over the top of the bed of grounds and then back down into the coffee, the actual fluid itself, and then it just keeps regenerating itself. Not the greatest way to make coffee. It's not a way that most people do it anymore.
Right.
But, you know, that's how it was done back in the day.
So how long have you been roasting coffee for?
So to further that, so...
Was it a hobby first?
Well, that's just it. So fast forward.
Just like the bar, the beer guys.
So fast forward. I always loved, I was introduced to coffee early on because of my parents. But
didn't they tell you can't drink it because of stunted growth?
But that was just it. I wasn't drinking coffee then, but I still. But the one thing I remember is I'd always be huffing the can of Folgers.
What? That's wonderful.
Opening
that
the
smells so good.
I'm getting a bag right now.
I love that.
Opening the fridge and
totally
huffing that can
too.
Of Folgers. So that was one thing
that's
I always
funny.
Did as a kid.
It smells so good.
My mother
good.
Would be like, what are you doing? Like, well, this smells so good. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it really did smell
I know,
that
I get
good.
That.
Okay.
I get that.
So you want to know a story about A&P? Okay, so A&P in the morning, you used to do to make you want to buy coffee? They used to grind coffee and throw it on the floor, let it sit there for a while. And before they opened up, they would sweep it, throw it away. But when you walked in, you would smell the fresh coffee grounds.
The 8 o'clock coffee.
You would smell that.
Yeah.
And that's what they did every morning.
Like dry grounds, throw it on the floor,
right.
Let it sit there, sweep it up.
Yep, and they would the aroma would stay in the front of the store.
That's like
that's
the
true.
Really?
That's
yes.
like the vent from the Cinnabon oven pumps out into the mall.
Oh, yeah.
So that gets you in.
That gets you in.
Yeah, I've heard that. And who else? Like, yeah, there's been other people. That, like maybe Burger King, they have that flame-broiled scent up in the air. They send that out.
I got a feeling they got some kind of incense for that or something. So you were doing coffee as a hobby?
Well, so obviously I got a little bit older and began drinking coffee, mm-hmm. but nothing of any significance. It was really more a vehicle for caffeine than it was anything else. You know, that's kind of what you did. But, you know, fast forward, I end up, I'm in school. I'm going to school for architectural lighting design. And during that time, I hooked up with someone who turned me on to the event space as far as live production work is concerned. And during my summer months in college, I hooked up with a company that did touring for primarily rock and roll bands. And, you know, long story short, I quit college and ended up going on the road. So it wasn't until I was on the road that I had the opportunity to travel to other countries. And now I'm drinking coffee like in South America, places in Europe, and I'm tasting coffee that didn't taste like anything I've ever had at home. You know, much more complex, a lot more, you know, nuanced as far as flavors are concerned, things that are coming out in the coffee that I had no idea were even possible.
For the good?
Oh, absolutely for the good, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I like to think that I have a nice palate, and that's one of the things I always embraced. Being on the road can be kind of a lonely endeavor when you're out touring. So one of the things that I really kind of embraced when I was out for so long, because I'd be gone for months on end. And so eating was a big thing, and trying to find great places to eat so I could, when I'm in these other areas, just experiencing really great restaurants. And then also, because I had a lot of downtime between shows, I'd go and find a good coffee house and I'd sit and see what the coffee culture was like. And at the time, it was so much different than it was in America.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming around in America, though, for sure.
Maybe you could explain those differences when you get around to it. Yeah.
Sure. But in this process, you know, I've got an electrical and mechanical background as a result of the work I'm doing. And I walked into a cafe in South America, and there's this machine sitting in this place. It's kind of in the back corner. It looked like a giant locomotive. And it had these big, giant leather pulley belts, you know, all belt-driven and all this, you know, looked like this big Rube Goldberg machine. I asked the guy, I said, what is that? And he said, well, that's a coffee roaster. I'm like, that's what roasts coffee. And I couldn't take my eyes off the thing. I'm like, I need to own one of those. You know, it's that I knew nothing more about coffee than the fact that I liked drinking it. Mm-hmm. But then that spurred so much more of the other parts of me as far as, you know, electrical, mechanical, even some of the design side of the things I do, because I do a lot of the design stuff that I'm doing presently for my business. Mm-hmm. So it sparked all of that. Well, you know, I spent 10 more years doing that job before I finally went into coffee. But in the meantime, though, I did begin roasting as a hobby, meaning home roasting. There are places online that you can actually buy some small amounts of green coffee, and there are these little tiny, what almost seem like popcorn popper type of coffee roasters. So I was experimenting with mm-hmm. coffee in that regard as far as getting my start is concerned. But touring and being on the road like that for that long, it takes its toll. It's great when you're in your 20s, but mm-hmm. then I get into my 30s and I'm thinking about an exit strategy, and mm-hmm. this is it. I mean, I cashed out a 401k and decided to go whole hog into this coffee thing. And so I'm 5 years in, and we're...
So how did you get your foot into some of these places? When did you decide to go from the little popcorn popper to get a little bit larger?
That was so. Are you talking about like an actual?
Yeah. When you decided, when did you decide? Hey, you know, and how did you do it? You know, to go from just making it in your house for yourself to like actually presenting it to a company. Because folks out there, Fiend doesn't have a storefront where you can go in and get a cup of coffee.
I'm a wholesaler.
He's a wholesaler, so you can find his products at Whole Foods.
In this area, and right in obviously the Northwest Indiana, uh-huh. Whole Foods in Schererville, and also right now at Cafe Fresco in downtown Crown Point. They have my coffee, both serving it and retail bags of it.
So, folks, if you want to try his coffee, call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and Alex has brought bags of coffee, coffee cups, and we'll send it out to you. But you need to call in 769-9577. So how did you go from... I guess getting the cojones up to say, hey, I'm cutting off from this, and I'm going to just go into roasting coffee.
It's making that decision. So okay. I spent an entire year still working. Well, and actually after I got into my first grocery stores, because that's really was my sort of my path to getting into the market, because I was only going to go into wholesale. I thought about retail, thought about opening a cafe, but the barrier to entry was way too high in terms of cost. So I thought, well, I can get a little hole in the wall somewhere. I can buy a nice commercial, small commercial roaster, because they make them in all different sizes. And then I can just give it a shot. And that's really what it comes down to, is giving it a shot. Mm-hmm. And just taking the chance. It's all risk. It's 100%
risk. So you just
risk.
Like jumped off the bridge.
Literally, I had to, you know, the old get off the pot saying. And it was, I sat and thought to myself, am I, you know, I was roasting coffee. I was sharing it with people. It was on a much smaller scale. People liked what I was doing. I was proud of what I was doing. And I knew that I needed a new chapter. So that's what it was. And I said, okay, I'm just going to. So I literally did all. I did a full year. I gave myself some runway. I was still doing part-time work at the time, but I, like I said, I literally cashed out my 401k so I could live on that while I did this whole process of research and getting my, you know, my business in order to then launch a product.
So who gave you the break? Who gave you the first shelf space?
So living up originally in the north suburbs of Chicago, a grocery store called Sunset Foods.
Which I've been to Sunset. Yeah. Very nice place. Very busy place.
Yeah.
Very, very busy.
They got five locations in the north and west.
And how, you know, just for some of those people out there that are like thinking, hey, I'm going to get my product into a store. What were some of the steps you had to go through?
Got to meet with their grocery buyer and they hope that they like you, and they hope that they like your product. Okay. That's really what it comes down to. And some places are much harder than others. I mean, a little bit has to do with market saturation, too, in terms of how much they have and how much your brand might fit in with what they're doing. Trust me, the amount of no's I've got far outweigh the yeses.
Really?
For sure. It's just how it is.
So do you have to – do you there's shelf space and stuff. Is this things like that? How do you entice them? How should somebody entice a grocer out there to try to get their products on there?
Well, if they like you, they'll flat out ask you to do, you know, some free fill to get things going.
Right.
And that makes a lot of sense. You know, I certainly respect that.
Like it's like samples.
But you know something? Most of these guys are great. And they'll say, hey, you know what? We'll give you a shot. Let's put some stuff on the shelf. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, maybe we can remain friends. You know, lucky that that exists.
Well, it's not just luck. It's a little luck, but you have to have a good product too.
You do. And that's the point. You know, he said that most of these guys will say, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then we just move on.
Who do we got on the phone there, Sharon?
Yeah, Rachel from Valparaiso.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm just driving home from work. I'm a high school teacher and I love coffee.
So, have you ever ready for a cup? You're ready for a cup. So are we. It's getting towards the end of the day there. Just kind of boosts you up. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Fiend Coffee Roasters?
I have not, but I'm super excited to try.
Do you have a question? Any kind of question for Alex here?
Yeah. Is it just like regular coffee, or do you do flavors? Or
no, it's it is regular coffee. But it's really a. These days, it's what's called, it's the area of the coffee market called specialty coffee. So we are really kind of taking and honoring the coffee for what it is. You know, the coffee is a very complex agricultural product. It's grown in some of the most, you know, complex regions in the world, you know, mostly, you know, volcanic soil, high mountain ranges. So it's more complex than wine when it comes right down to it. I mean, you'll get sommeliers that might argue with me a little bit on that, but the flavor compounds in coffee outweigh that in wine. And they're in my estimation, I love wine too. I can more distinctly pick out flavors in coffee when it's roasted right and when it's prepared right than I can in wine, as far as really, really succinct, coffee profiles are concerned.
So, Rachel, the way Alex does his coffee, he does, you know, like some places you go to and get coffee beans with Irish flavor or cocoa flavor. He doesn't do that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, but you are mainly the bean is the flavor. The bean is the aroma. You're not adding anything.
I'm not adding anything. I'm really roasting.
You're a purist.
I'm a purist.
Very good.
I'm roasting to highlight the, you know, inherent beauty of these coffees. That's really what we're after in this craft.
So, Rachel, how do you like your cup of coffee?
Oh, I like it with some hazelnut cream. But I do enjoy, if it's a good coffee, just black coffee tastes really nice if it's good coffee. You know.
Well,
I don't think just regular old, like you said, the smell of Folgers is delicious, but it needs a little oomph in my opinion, you know.
So
I'm excited to try your coffee and see, you know, that, well, I don't need all that additive.
I look forward to having you try it. And I've got different coffees here that I brought today, and they all have different profiles in terms of what I'm trying to elicit from the different regions. Most of what I have here today are blends. I mean, there's a difference between blends, a blend of coffee, and then single origin coffee. So single origin is a coffee from a single, you know, origin, mm-hmm. meaning like Colombia, mm-hmm. Brazil, Ethiopia, Kenya, that type of thing. Blends are when we take, it's kind of a more of a chef-driven type of approach mm-hmm. to coffees, where I can look at coffees and I think, well, this coffee from Brazil is very chocolatey, but yet this coffee from Ethiopia has got a really nice fruity, natural fruity content to it, and I work those together to create a very sort of signature blend. So,
now, do those flavors, do they come from like the soil that the beans are grown in?
What's called the terroir, yeah. So it's a part of processing. So coffee is not a bean. It is the pit of a fruit. But for marketing reasons, I don't think you could really say those are delicious pits.
yeah.
You know, so that's really what it, so it, and it, and it's a, just a coffee cherry. And depending on how it's been processed, it's a combination of things. So it is a, you know, seasonal crop. So it is sort of, you know, it's very fragile. So it depends on the growing season, how good it's been, you know, rain, wind, sun, shade, the whole thing as far as how the crops are going to turn out. So from year to year, I might get a really great coffee from, you know, a certain farm. And the next year, it's not as great because they just didn't have as great a growing region or season. So I kind of lost my train of thought, but.
It happens.
You make good coffee.
I like to think I make good coffee.
So, Rachel, what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a bag of whole bean coffee and a coffee mug from Fiend Coffee Roasters.
Well, Rachel, do you like your
I cannot wait to try it.
Do you like your coffee more caramely, more chocolatey? Because that's where we can...
Ooh, caramely.
Okay.
So what bean should I give her?
Joyride or Teodoro?
So, Rachel, do you drink coffee mainly for the taste or for the effect or both?
This one.
Both. Oh, I love a good cup of coffee.
So, Rachel, what we're going to do is we're going to send you a bag of Joyride coffee and a coffee mug, too, for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And the coffee mug, you know what's good about this coffee? It's nice and thick. It's something like you can put your hands around and keep warm.
Yeah, that's a good insulated mug. That thing will definitely keep the coffee hot a long time,
too. So, Rachel, thank you for calling in, okay?
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Folks,
bye-bye.
Just give us a call. Ask Alex a question about coffee, their coffee fruit or coffee pits or whatever you want. 769-9577.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for joining us here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. You're listening to Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. Our guest today is from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point, right on Summit Street. Give us a call, 769-9577. And Alex has brought in some whole bean coffee that he has roasted with his very two hands and a coffee mug, and we'll send it out to you from Lakeshore Public Radio. How many different kinds of beans do you have? What do you deal with?
A lot.
Do you travel to these places?
Well, yeah.
Is there standard ones, and then you suddenly?
There are standard ones. So kind of going back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of blends and then origins, and that blends are created from different origins of coffee brought together to create what is called a blend. These days, what we're trying to do in coffee and what we call craft coffee or the specialty coffee market is really roasting, again, as I said earlier, to highlight, you know, the natural characteristics of these coffees and just how complex that they can be. So we're roasting a little bit lighter. And really, this is, you know, we want people to take a new look at coffee, and less is a vehicle for caffeine and more about really enjoying the coffee for...
What do you mean less of the vehicle? That's why I drink coffee.
trying to make you change your mind. Coffee has so much complexity to it. Like I said, compared to wine, that once you get it roasted right, and then the other part of this, and this is probably the more difficult part, is preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much left to chance once I put that coffee in a bag and it goes to somebody. You know, your water temperature, you know, the grind, the particulate size, the amount of time that you put into it based on how much, you know, the type of brewing process that you're using. There's a lot that's left to chance at the end of the day. So there's a huge... educational curve in all of this. Okay. And that's where people get sort of intimidated, but we want people to really get into their coffee. There's nothing that beats waking. To this day, I look forward to going to bed and waking up and thinking about that coffee I'm going to drink the next day. And the whole ritual of grinding that coffee fresh, brewing it in, you know, and I use automatic brewers, but I use really good ones. Because it's all about it's all about getting the water to the right temperature so you can get proper extraction. You get a really well-extracted coffee, it'll blow your mind.
What's the best way to make coffee, in your opinion? Is it with a French press, think?
No.
So, because I have a French press.
It's not a bad way, but that's immersive as opposed to passive. So, in other words, the coffee is sitting in a chamber with the water as opposed to like a drip maker where it's actually passing through it. So you're going to get more of a muted cup in terms of the flavor profile. You're not going to get as much definition per se because you've got the real key, though, to French press is once you've gone through the process of letting it steep, like the 4-minute process, and then you plunge it, in theory, you're supposed to fully decant it. Because if you don't fully decant it, it's going to continue to extract, and it's going to make it stronger, and it either might make it...
bitter?
Yeah, it could be for the better or worse, but more often it's for the worse. But it's also about educating people, too, because we're kind of getting into this, what I would deem somewhat snobby aspect of coffee these days.
Right.
And a lot of people aren't willing to go that far. But I think once they've really experienced it and had a cup of coffee at that level, there's no going back.
Who do you got on the line?
Oh, yeah. Charlotte's from Hobart.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Enjoying your afternoon?
Yeah.
So do you have a coffee question for our coffee aficionado over here?
Which coffee is the best, the caramel or the chocolatey or whatever?
Well, it's all about what you like, and that's why we do these different sort of roasts.
What kind of coffee do you drink?
Right now we drink the cheapest that we can find.
Well, this is also not the cheapest, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, how do you brew your coffee? Do you just use a regular pour over?
No, we've got one.
Grinds the beans and then makes the coffee.
Oh, it does it all.
So it's like a grind and brew. It's got the grinder within it, and then it like a Cuisinart style.
Well, you know what's great, Charlotte? What Alex brought over is a whole bean coffee, high quality, and it'll do that. You'll be able to pour it in there, grind it, and brew it. How's that sound?
Very good.
So what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a bag of coffee and a coffee mug from Fiend Coffee Makers, Roasters out of Crown Point.
Okay, what kind do you have?
Well, we're going to send you... Which one we're going to send?
Well, do you like something... Again, I forgot what you might have said, Charlotte. Chocolatey or more caramely or something that almost has a little bit of a fruity content to it?
Charlotte?
You thinking?
Yeah.
Thinking about it?
Chocolate or fruity?
We are going to get both, you know, strong coffee.
We usually just get strong coffee.
Send them the Teodoro.
Okay. We're going to send you the Teodoro. How's that?
Ted.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting us on the phone.
Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Today we have Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point. Alex, give us your address real quick.
It's 1085 Millennium Drive, Crown Point, Indiana. It's tucked nicely into a sleepy little industrial area.
And we got to remind people that they can't just go there and get the coffee. They would have to go to the
No, I can't. I'm not selling out of the place right now, and my hours are kind of weird because of my travel and the fact that I'm doing a lot of the distribution myself at this point. But I'll tell you what, if you ever see a white Tahoe out front and you're driving by, come on and say hi. See the
Other
place.
Than that, they can go to Whole Foods over in Cherville.
Yep, or Cafe Fresco.
Cafe Fresco. How about mail? Do you do any mail out?
Yeah, so I've got a website, fiend.com. People could double F-E-I-N-E. So fiend is the word caffeine without the first two letters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I've got an online presence there where you can actually buy and...
You'll mail it out.
I'll mail it out.
So you get a better flavor profile if you have the water pass through the bean?
You get more of the subtlety of the flavor profile. You get a little bit more complexity, I find, when you're doing that. But again, a lot of this is subjective. We're all dealing with different sort of palates in terms of what we like. What we're doing here is really trying to educate people, too. You know, going back to a comment earlier when was it Sharon or Charlotte when she was on the phone talking about cheap coffee. You know, the coffees that I'm dealing with too are it's a premium, you know, price point. And not only what we are doing in specialty coffee is all about sort of, you know, highlighting how great coffee can be in terms of bringing really good high quality coffees and trying to roast it right so you get a great end result. We're also trying to do right by the farmers that farm these coffees, and that's a big deal these days. You know, coffee is a commodity.
That's what they call fair trade, right?
Well, trade, or you know, there's some sort of an equal exchange. There's different things that go along with that, but at the end of the day, it is about trying to pay these farmers more money. Because right now, I'll give you for instance, on average, the in order for any farmer to be profitable, they got to make about $2.50 a pound for green coffee. The C market right now has dropped way down, and it's right around a dollar right now as far as what they're able to make. And we've got farmers who are literally walking off their farms right now because they cannot make a living.
And if they can't make a living, they can't give you coffee.
And they can't give me coffee. And so there is this effort right now in the specialty community to really help turn that around, and we're also here to make people realize just how good coffee can be, and why there is a reason to maybe pay up for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pay a lot of money for the coffee I get, but I'm getting really good, really high-grown coffee that is I think worth the price.
So how many coffee roasters do you have in your establishment?
I have two. I have a 35 kilo and I have a smaller 5 kilo.
So how much you a week? How much you think you roast out?
Oh, geez, it depends on the week.
Okay,
but I'm doing. God, I got to do the math as far as how much I'm doing. I'm not good at math, but keep talking. I'll think about that.
I'm curious though. Do you go to these exotic locations and find the beans yourself? And you have a certain certain people you deal with, certain farmers.
I did go to what we call going to origin before I really got into the coffee business.
Because you were traveling.
Because I was traveling, exactly.
Like a twofer.
So I did get some experience there and understanding of it. But having gotten into the business, it's tough because I'm more or less a one-man show at this point. I've got a couple of part-time helpers. Shout out to Danny and Kim. Thanks for your help. So it's really difficult to try to do that because that is in and of itself a very money, time.
Right.
But there are specialty broker importers that we work with that we buy our coffee from, and they're the ones doing the heavy lifting as far as getting the good coffees, also paying the farmers the right price, and getting us to be on board with it. It's sort of, you know, it's a community effort.
Mm-hmm. Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577. Give us a call here at the studio, 89.1 FM. We have Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point here. And we only got about 15 minutes left, and he's giving out bags of whole bean coffee and a beautiful coffee mug, too. So take us through the process. You say it's a fruit with a pit. How do you deal with it, and how long does it take to, like, roast the batch?
Well, it's funny about roasting is it's not that difficult of a process, or not that lengthy of a process. Depending on what you're roasting and how dark you want to roast it.
But, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
As you roast it darker, does that kill the caffeine?
Yeah. You're opening up all these cans of worms. So in theory, yes.
Don't roast mine too much then.
Well, here's the rub. So coffee is, the actual green bean is very rich with water content. There's a lot of moisture in the raw coffee bean.
Is that the most caffeine content too? As it's green.
Well, that contributes to it. So the point is that as you are roasting coffee, you are essentially, you know, diminishing the amount of water content in there. So as that water content goes down, as does the caffeine. So the darker you roast, in theory, the less caffeine there is. But if you're brewing by volume as opposed to weight, so let's say you're brewing by volume, meaning you're just taking scoops. Mm-hmm. So if you're brewing scoops of coffee versus weight, and in the specialty coffee realm, we only brew by weight. But if you're brewing by scoops, at that point, you're scooping out the same amount. So at the end of the day, if I weigh a lighter roasted coffee as it comes out of the roaster versus the same amount of coffee going in for a darker roast, that darker roast weighs less because it has less moisture content as it comes out. It's also, the bean is larger at that point too because heat expands, so it's fatter. So it's funny, the darker roast going into a bag fill the bag more than does a lighter roasted coffee because of the actual size of the bean and the expansion that happens during the roasting process.
So are there different size beans?
Oh, there are different size beans. They get screened. There's hundreds of coffee varietals, and that's the different types of plants like you would find for grapes, the same type of thing.
So when you roast it, is there a shell that comes off?
So there is something called chaff, and it's much like a...
Not like between my legs. That's chafing.
That's chafing, exactly.
But don't look at me like that, Sharon, like I said something wrong. We're all human.
It's kind of a silver skin.
Okay.
And that comes off during the roasting process.
I said nothing.
It's like that little thing you find on a peanut after you've taken the shell off, and there's that little skin you got to get off that.
Oh, that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks a little different than it does on the peanut. It's actually so imbued onto a green coffee bean that you can't take it off of the raw coffee bean itself. It happens during the roasting process.
Okay. What's the best temperature, water temperature, when you're brewing?
We say 195 to 205.
So just before boiling.
Get to boiling about maybe 30 seconds off the boil, and then you can start making your coffee if you're going to do what we call like a pour over, or you're going to do your French press. That's what you...
Folks, we only got about 10 minutes. If you want to give us a call in and visit with us, we got Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters in Crown Point, 769-9577, 769-9577, and get a bag of coffee from us, whole bean coffee and a coffee mug Alex brought in. So visit us with Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point.
So as the bean is being roasted, the water content comes out and the bean gets bigger because it's the heat expands it. And what does that do to it? It just changes the flavors?
Well, flavor really comes from, you know, origin. You know, that coffee has got what it's already in there. It's our job as roasters to figure out a way. That's the craft side of it. So you asked a question earlier. We got off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. So you talked about how long. So whether I'm roasting 2 pounds or 2,000 pounds, the roast time is the exact same to get the end result as far as that roast level that you're trying to reach. All these coffee roasters are pretty much, you know, they're scaled accordingly. So my 5 kilo roaster versus my 35 kilo roaster, the drum size and the amount of heat that's applied to the process, that all turns out to be about the same amount of time in terms of a roast. You know, from the beginning to the end is concerned. Obviously, you're going to have a shorter roast time for the lighter, and you're going to have a longer roast time for the darker coffee.
So is there a calming coffee? I mean, are beans, some beans have more caffeine, some have no caffeine. Is that like that, or are they all pretty much the same?
There's going to be some variation depending on... Again,
can you measure that? Is there a way you measure that?
Scientifically, you can measure that, absolutely.
You can measure that. So
it's not as easy, though.
So what's the most exotic area you get your bean from?
Jeez. I mean, Kenya, Ethiopia, there's... You know, as far as there's nothing really too, you know, I get coffees from,
Well, what's the best seller now that you have out there? Because you blend them, though.
I sell a lot of blends. And that's, so here's the other part of this whole business, too, is coffee is kind of riding on the coattails of the craft beer market right now, as far as, you know, where we're going and how popular it's becoming, especially with a, you know, sort of a younger generation. And while people are understand single origin, we want people to understand what origin is about and how coffees from Central America are going to be more of your kind of balanced, kind of chocolatey caramels and so forth, even though you can get more complex coffees from those regions. But coffees from Ethiopia, Kenya are going to be far more complex as far as some of the fruity and floral qualities that you can, and profiles you can, you know, eke out of these beans. But the blends, it's unfortunately, it comes down to marketing and
I see.
And it's but it, honestly, I love it personally. Some people say it's not a purist approach, but I disagree with that because I am a coffee roaster. And while I love my single origins, I like playing with origin and seeing what I can come up with. And I love coming up.
Yeah, you're blending, but you're not adding like powders to her or any kind of flavoring.
No, this is just natural coffees. I'm saying, hey, I can take this coffee from Ethiopia, I can blend it with this coffee, and I can come out at the other end with this. But the thing about single origin is you're almost going to never get the same coffee time and time again with a single origin because you're dealing with coffees that are changing crop to crop, season to season. The hard part for us when we do a blend is people are depending on that blend being the same every time.
Right.
So I've got to constantly attenuate what I'm doing with that blend to make sure that when you pick up that bag of Xanadu or that bag of Joyride, that it's going to taste like it did the last time you bought it.
Yeah, and that's difficult.
That is extremely difficult when you come when you're dealing with an agricultural product that isn't going to be the same every time. So I got to sit and I got to think about, well, this coffee, you know, I used this Ethiopian this time, but you know what? I got to switch over to this coffee from Burundi because it's providing me the right profile for this blend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also kind of, you know, always tweaking to make sure that, and then, but also part of this comes down to coming up with these blends and marketing them.
And how do you come up with them? Is it just your own personal preference?
Yeah, and a lot of these have some of these are kind of, have some semblance to things I've done in my life. Mm-hmm. Then I've kind of named them after that.
Sharon's got people want to know about your blends.
No.
Who do we got there?
We got Larry from Munster.
Larry, how are you doing, man?
Hey, Larry.
Very good, very good.
You got a question for Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters?
Yes, I do. He kind of touched on it when he told about when he goes to bed at night and he wakes up in the morning and thinks about grinding his coffee. And my question is, two related things to grinding coffee. I assume he deals in whole bean coffee only?
I deal only in whole bean. And as I say to people, the greatest container for coffee's flavor is the bean. Once it's ground, it begins to oxidize and you begin losing some of that the
bouquet.
You really do. And that's just it. It is a bouquet and you begin to lose that. Now, again, you know, most people might not be able to distinguish that, but I think that if you really spend time with it, you will find that there is a definite difference.
Okay, then how long storage time, you know, if you grind 2 days worth, is that going to lose it on the second day very much?
Yeah, or? You know, it's going to come down to personal preference at this point. Oh, okay. I don't want to get too snobby about it, but really within you like to grind and brew as quickly as possible. No, don't have that grind sitting there for more than 20 minutes before it goes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. That's how crazy we get about
it. I should be locked up.
Yeah.
Then the other question is, you mentioned brewing temperature is different coffees. Do they have different temperatures?
No, we pretty much in what we call the specialty coffee area, we pretty much maintain that right around 200 degree mark for extraction, good extraction for all coffees.
Okay, then a coffee brewer that you just pour the water in and boils and percolates through, are they pretty good or do they make brewers that you can control the temperature?
You know, like you said, we're talking about before boiling your temperatures. Now the percolator is actually boiling. Does that help destroy the coffee?
Yeah,
Does it break it down?
It actually doesn't do any favors to the coffee. Okay. In a percolator standpoint, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's like a Mr. Coffee where you pour the water and then it pumps it up when it boils and drips it over.
It drips it over the top. So that's passive brewing. That's a little different than what we call in these days what are called a pour-over coffee, where you're really taking a kettle with a spout neck and you're kind of doing these slow pours over it. A Mr. Coffee is just a more, you know, sort of automated way of doing that. With the Mr. Coffees, though, there are some really nice machines. Bonavita Mix, a really nice machine you can get on, like on Amazon. There's another one from the Netherlands called the Mocha Master.
Mocha Master.
Made by Technivorm. And these machines are really... there's an organization for this whole thing I'm talking about here called the Specialty Coffee Association. If you go to SCA.org, you can get a lot more education about all of this. And you can see they are really particular about coffees being brewed manually. But they do have some machines that they recommend... That they deem worthy of, you know, machine style coffee brewing.
You know, I said in my lead in, when you hear me, I say a little information. Mm-hmm. See how I was so wrong today? Today's a lot of information.
Yeah, and another quick question on the container for holding the coffee ground, a paper or one of those little wire mesh containers that the coffee sits in? And
you mean
the
with
water.
the hopper that you would put the grounds in before you brew?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, are you talking about just for holding your beans?
Yeah, when you ground the beans and you're pouring the water over the beans.
The actual filter. Well, that's kind of preference, too. We mostly use paper, but there again, it's a bit of preference. And we always tell people to experiment. That's the big thing. You should spend time with your coffee, getting what you want out of it. You might get some bad results, but then you've learned which way you want to go with things. You're going to get, when you use the mesh filters, though, you're going to get a lot more of the oils from the coffee that end up getting absorbed by the paper style. That can be an advantage in some cases, and it can be a disadvantage in others. You might get more sort of the acrid sort of aspects of coffee in that regard, and in some cases you won't. And it comes down to your personal palate.
Yeah, the metal filters, I end up getting a lot of grounds in the pot or the cup as opposed to the paper filter.
And you know what? You might want to grind a little coarser in that regard, too.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to have to – I'm sorry to do this, but we're going to send you out a bag of whole bean coffee from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point. Alex is going to give that to me. And thanks for calling in. We got callers on the line.
Okay, thank you for the information.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Great. Thank you. Who else we got, Sharon?
We have Marianne from Crown Point.
Marianne, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you for waiting.
Hey, Marianne.
Sure.
So you have a question for Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters?
Yes, I do. Right now I'm drinking Colombian coffee, and I like it on the stronger side. I just was wondering, what's the difference between that and like an espresso? Coffee?
Yeah, well, espresso is a different preparation process. Now, there aren't espresso coffees per se, although all roasters will sell a coffee that they deem an espresso blend, but that's really no different than any other coffee. So as the coffee, espresso is a very volatile brewing process. You know, it's a very fine grind, and then it's been pressed into a puck, and then hot water is forced through it very quickly. So that's how you get the strength.
Use any ground as long as you fine grind it and press it.
You can.
Yeah. Okay. I hate to move you along like this, but we got another.
Can I just ask one more question?
Really quick.
Yeah. Okay. When you grind it, fine, medium, or coarse. I've got a grinder that's got all three of those on there.
Okay, so what's your brewing process? Is it just a drip machine?
It grinds fine, medium, or coarse.
Do you want a drip or do you want an espresso?
What's your machine?
I want the drip.
So you're gonna kind of do medium to slightly coarse medium. And that's your water temperature. So you want to make sure your water's temperature.
I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time.
Thanks
for calling in.
I'll
hear from you next week, maybe.
Thank you.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Who else we got there, Sharon?
Barbara.
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
Our last caller of the day. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, quick question. 30 seconds.
I was wondering, when you buy the beans, the bags of beans, how long do they last? You know, like, how long can you use them before you grind them?
So, again, it comes down to preference at some level. We usually like to see people use we put roast dates on our bags these days in the specialty coffee market. So, like, on the back of my bag, you'll see the actual roast date. And then once the bag has been open, because I do something called nitrogen flushing with my bags, so they hold longer. Usually, if you want to see you use it within a month. But don't keep your coffee in the fridge. Keep it in the bag it came in and keep it in a nice, dark, cool space.
And what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a coffee from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point, okay?
Thank thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Don't mean to cut everyone off. Alex, thanks for stopping in. It was a great hour, fast hour. But real quick, give everyone your phone number, address, any kind of information.
Here, fiend.com. F-F-E-I-N-E.com. Double F-E-I-N-E. And that's everything's there.
So, folks, all the people that called in, thanks for calling in. I want to thank Alex from Fiend Coffee Roasters out of Crown Point for joining us here on 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. I want to thank Sharon, for running the boards and asking some questions. Again, always thank you, the listeners, for listening, calling in, and supporting us here at Lakeshore Public Radio. And remember, game night tonight with Tommy and Wayne. I'll be feeding them, so tune in. Yasu.